You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
He was not a Floridian. He had no ties to Florida other than owning property. We have a number of Floridians, both individuals and organizations, that promote free speech that is not divisive like this individual was.
So this is Representative Ashley Gantt talking on the House floor in Tallahassee about the proposed Charlie Kirk Day of Remembrance. And as I understand it, obviously the Republicans are the ones running this bill primarily, but it's not because Charlie Kirk is a conservative. It's because he was a First Amendment advocate who, discussed controversial things, was open, encouraged debate, encouraged disagreement, was an advocate for the First Amendment, and gave his life for that. Now, of course, we don't have the sort of thought experiment hypothetical of what if he had been a liberal viewpoint advocate who also advocated for free speech, which certainly that was always what I was raised in a liberal household to believe is that, though I disagree with you, I would fight to the death to protect your right to say a thing. So you don't have to be liberal or conservative to believe in that. Although, these days, I think there's some debate about which side is more emphatic about freedom and disagreement and which side is more interested in canceling things. We on our side, we have that, too. Okay, don't get me wrong. It's not like everybody who's a conservative is, massive supporter of openness and against censorship. But more often these days, it's a weird inversion of the historical trend. Anyway, Ashley Gantt, viewing this as honoring the viewpoints that Charlie Kirk believed in as opposed to the First Amendment that he advocated and practiced, and also a distorted version of those viewpoints, I would think. My assessment, her assessment are different on what he was saying as being worthwhile or not. But she went farther than that. She said, we shouldn't be having a day of remembrance for this guy because
if we want to talk about free speech, let's talk about being precise with our words. When we hear assassination, that's typically related to a person and a political position. Charlie Kirk died from gun violence, okay? We continuously advocate for gun policy legislation that would ensure that people that probably shouldn't have a gun don't have a gun. So was his passing tragic for those who love him? Absolutely. There is no denying that. But he was not assassinated, and words being accurate matters. It was a death by gun violence. That is an issue here in the country that we should all be on the same page with addressing.
Two notes. First note.
Was his passing tragic for those who love him? Absolutely.
Wasn't his passing tragic for everybody? Isn't a campus murder on the basis of somebody who is engaging in political debate, isn't that something everyone should be upset about, regardless of the viewpoint the person was offered? That's a weird way to say it. But then also this notion that it's not an assassination because he wasn't an elected official. You know how sometimes Alex was making this point a few minutes ago when we were talking with him that, sometimes representatives in the heat of their stupidity say things that you can't really make sense of logically, but they get it up in their head that, this is a good argument. Yeah, I'm going to explain how this is gun violence, not an assassination, because he wasn't even elected to office. Okay, PJ, I'm going to bring you into this for just a second. Can you think of anybody historically who was killed with gun violence, but who was not an elected official, who is a very, very, very famously assassinated religious leader who we have streets named after him in the United States in every city. We have a day of remembrance for him everywhere in the United States. We have a plaza right downtown named for him, but he was not, of course, an elected official. The name
MLK.
That's right. So is he not assassinated because he does? I mean, just you get into saying something stupid and you just can't get yourself out of it.
And if we want to talk about free speech, you know, a lot of people say that was some white on white crime. Why aren't we addressing it in that regard? What are we doing about white on white crime?
Okay. Well, I try to be as kind as I can, but when I say that some people are not rock stars, you get what I'm talking about.
So Charlie Kirk was not someone that children in the state of Florida should be subjected to honoring. There is no do-over with children. So when you have these kids in class and they are subjected to it, I want to know who are the parents going to sue? Because if my child has to recognize, honor, or acknowledge this man in any capacity that believed and said that I, as a black woman, did not have the intellectual capacity to even occupy the seat that I'm in, I'm suing somebody.
They were really clear that that's not what this would involve. Meanwhile, Michelle Rainer, she's sometimes a little bit better, but she also, you know, the three black female representatives in the state house that were the most vocal about this, Michelle Rainer, Angela Nixon, and Ashley Gantt.
And as a black woman serving in this chamber, I cannot overlook the way this rhetoric has targeted and dismissed black women and other marginalized voices, including members yelling at other black women on this floor.
Well, when they say crazy things.
That reality is not abstract. It shapes how people experience belonging, safety, dignity, and public right.
If a black woman says a ridiculous thing and she gets jeered on the floor, is it because she's black and a woman, or is it because she said a ridiculous thing? You know, the problem is that if you provoke people to respond to your silliness and then you blame it on racism or sexism, and when you provoked it by the silliness, well, that's as silly as the original underlying comment anyway.
So let me be very clear. Free speech is a right. State commemoration is a choice.
That's true.
And we are making our choices very clear today. And if I sound hot, I am hot.
All right. More in a moment to this interesting conversation. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is congestion US 98 between Fairpoint Drive and Shoreline and Gulf Breeze. US 90 clear from Milton to Pace. There is also a dense fog advisory until 9 a.m. Use those headlights. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, no objection to people being animated, emotional. I mean, that's fine. I like people being honest. And sometimes, you know, you can't convey something. I demonstrate emotion on this show. I don't have a problem with that. I just always want your emotion to be rooted in rationality, reasonableness, good evidence, sound reasoning. And, you know, it's just not in this case. Hey, if you're 64, turning 65, or you're retiring, or you just have questions about Medicare coverage and what it means, what is supplement, what is advantage, what is Medicaid? Is Medicaid and Medicare, are they the same thing? Which one is which? And it's very easy to not understand. For years, I'll just tell you, for me, for years, I didn't know the difference between them and would mix them up with each other. That's normal. They're hard words. I mean, it might, if you get the difference, great. Okay, but a lot of people don't, and that's my point. Ricky Stewart is there to answer these questions. Any question you have, and not just at open enrollment time, but any time through the year. Her whole family does insurance. She does just this one part. She works with Medicare and helps people understand it and, you know, get what they need and take care of their prescription drugs and all of that kind of stuff. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance. So many listeners have talked with her, and they always say the same thing. Man, she's wonderful. You say she's so sweet, but you don't even say the half of it. No, I know. Insured by Ricky, RICKI.com. All right, back to the discussion on the House floor in Tallahassee about Charlie Kirk Day of Remembrance. You know, as one group of black representatives who are Democrats, we're all shrilling their silliness. You also have Kian Michael, who is a representative, Kylan Michael. And she had a very different approach, saying that, you know, she knew Charlie Kirk. She worked with him. And they had talked right before he died about even the possibility that his practice of speech and debate might cost him his life.
One of the last words he said to me, talking about my son, is that your son's life and his death will not be in vain. And I will say that about Charlie Kirk. His death will not be in vain, because there are those who look like me who will stand up and defend what he stood for, what he believed in. He empowered the young minds to go towards conversations that were diverse and contrary to what you may not agree with. He taught us how to have a disagreeable discourse and yet come back with a smile on our face and with respect for one another.
Right, absolutely.
He told us three things he left us with that was very powerful. He said to love your nation. I love this nation. We're honored to live in this nation. We're blessed to have America. He said, love your nation. He said, turn back to God, who is in our Constitution. He said to get married, and to those who really have a real problem, have lots of children. I commend him for that. I honor him for that. I support HB 121. I encourage my colleagues to do the same.
And this is kind of one of those, just situations where who has the authority to talk about a thing? Well, you know, some white guy defending Charlie Kirk as an advocate for free speech is sort of one thing. Black woman who is a state elected representative who's a Republican defending him, I mean, it carries different weight. That's the nature of the world in which we live. Yvette Benaroche, who was born in Puerto Rico, and she was an Air Force veteran served in Desert Storm, and she was the legislator who was running this bill, the Charlie Kirk Day of Remembrance bill, and she said, look, this is the greatest country in the world because of free speech. That's how we debate and solve these differences.
This is the greatest country in the world, and it's because we have First Amendment rights. This is the foundation, and we have to continue to fight for them. So I ask one question. Do we still believe that disagreement should be met with debate and not bullets? I think so.
That's exactly right. Not violence, but more talking.
Charlie Kirk was assassinated while exercising his First Amendment rights. That fact alone should concern every American, regardless of party, sex, race, or religion. If violence becomes an acceptable response to speech, then the First Amendment becomes meaningless.
Exactly. And it is particularly for the people who say things that we disagree with, even vehemently. Somebody like Harvey Milk was a gay rights advocate. I don't agree with Harvey Milk about anything that he was trying to do. But he was killed for being a political activist. That's absolutely unacceptable. He was assassinated for being a political activist. Absolutely unacceptable. We do not kill our enemies in this country. We talk about them and to them, and we argue with them, and that's how we settle our differences. Otherwise, it's just the state of nature. It's just barbarism all over again.
This bill draws a constitutional line. In Florida, ideas are answered with ideas. Disagreement is answered with debate. Violence is never the answer. In Florida and in America, we debate, we do not assassinate. For those reasons, I respectfully ask for your favorable vote. And with that, I close, Madam Speaker.
And they did go ahead and vote for it. So I think the Senate is still pending. I don't remember yet. It may have acted, and I'm not sure. But I thought you ought to hear the conversation. Not the most informative, but in some ways it is. You know, where people are coming from, what they're willing to say on the floor of the House, how they're... And do I believe that these women really have studied Charlie Kirk and his statements and his comments? I actually think not. Because I'm getting one set of texts from somebody who's like, Charlie Kirk was such a racist. Everybody knows this. And somebody else like, I've watched hundreds of hours of Charlie Kirk and I've never heard him say racist things. I think Charlie Kirk expressed ideas that are at odds with what a lot of black race activists believe. And so they interpret him as being a racist. But if you come out, for example, against affirmative action, you try to explain why. Or the statements that, who was the guy that was up for nominating for one of the universities? I'm trying to remember his name. I'll probably think of it later. But he rather famously and I think clumsily expressed an idea about why would we search for specifically a female black jurist, Ketanji Brown Jackson, why would we search for somebody like that in order to find somebody on the Supreme Court? We're limiting our pool of applicants. She may not be the best. He said it differently. The quote was, I forget the exact quote. But anyway, if you interpret that as an attack against her or a statement that any particular person is not qualified, well, that's not what was being said. What was being said is if you deliberately benefit some people or hinder others or select a way, you're actually disadvantaging the applicant pool. Well, that gets interpreted as racism. Now, somebody might say that and be a racist, but the thing itself is not a racist expression. It's a challenge for us to do better. There's actually a very interesting, I think, let's see if I can find it here. I saw this kind of, not really a flow chart, but more of a diagram, I guess, of how everything you say gets interpreted as racism. And I thought it was pretty accurate that if a white person moves out of an area, that's called white flight, which is racism. If a white person moves into an area, that's called gentrification, and that's racism. If a white person says that they see color, well, that's racism. If they don't see color, they're ignoring racism, which makes them racist. If they don't partake in black culture, they're not inclusive and they're into white supremacy culture and they're racist. And if they do engage in black culture, they're engaging in cultural appropriation, which is racism. If everything is defined as racism, then nothing is racist. And learning to differentiate between people who disagree with you about matters of race and people who actually think that black people or Hispanic people or Asian people are inferior, or who think that white people are inferior, those are different things. Anyway, so they passed this. I have really thought a lot about, you know, which things do I like for the Charlie Kirk affirmations. I think of Day of Remembrance actually makes sense as a way of teaching and reminding people about, hey, free speech can have costs, and we do not accept that price for that behavior. Would I want a road? I'm actually not so much in favor of the road, interestingly. The day makes sense to me. The road, I'm not so sure. And I thought that the kind of knee-jerk effort to try to do that in Escambia County was very premature. And I'm glad that that didn't happen. 725 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
This weekend is daylight savings time. Be sure to set your clocks ahead 1 hour so that you don't miss church this Sunday. The idea of daylight savings is simply to enjoy the daylight wisely. Jesus said in John 9:4, and I quote, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." He then explains that he is the light of the world. Morally, our world seems to be getting darker and darker, yet the sinless Son of God remains the bright shining light, offering redemption to the world. Interestingly, in Matthew 5:16, Christians are called to be light. As we think about daylight savings time, I want to encourage you to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
There you have it.
Are you listening? Who are you? Your worst nightmare.
It's okay. You can dance in your car. It's actually kind of expected. 729 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Good morning. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. Steve?
A Florida man pardoned by President Donald Trump for his role in the U.S. Capitol riot back in January 6, 2021, has been sentenced to a life in prison for molesting two children. 45-year-old Andrew Paul Johnson's. He was found guilty in February. He was sentenced yesterday. The Los Angeles residents used for the exterior shots of the popular sitcom The Brady Bunch is now a historical landmark. The L.A. City Council approved the designation unanimously. The interior, of course, was shot in the studios, but the exterior shots were filmed in that 1959 home located in the San Fernando Valley. And, of course, it was used from 69 to 74 to film the exteriors. And basically, if you remember the Brady Bunch, you might remember that house. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve, for the update. Kristi Noem is out. Marquaine Mullen is the nominee to replace her. And perhaps his greatest contribution to this show ever has been...
You want to run your mouth? We can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Is that your solution, every public?
No, no, sit down. Sit down. Okay. You know, you're a United States Senator. Sit down.
Active.
Oh, okay. Sit down, please.
When Senator Bernie Sanders is the one who's telling you to sit your butt down, then you've done something horribly wrong. That was 3 years ago versus Sean O'Brien, the Teamsters chief, and I think it speaks for itself.
I'm CJ Papa. It's day 7 of the war with Iran. The U.S. Navy deploying laser technology to destroy Iranian drones.
The Odin blinds drones, firing an infrared beam that overwhelms drone sensors, causing it to crash or fail. At least two destroyers in Epic Fury that are equipped with the Odin. Now, the Helios is a high-energy laser beam with a high-powered sensor that tracks, blows up drones and missiles in the air by igniting the fuel.
Fox's Brian Yenis in London. The price of gas up 33 cents in the past 4 days since the war broke out. But
it's weeks, not months. And look, Iran has been an escalator of energy prices 47 years, the whole history of their regime.
That's Energy Secretary Chris Wright on Fox and Friends saying it will be temporary. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 right now. 67 degrees outside with a dense fog advisory in effect until 9 a.m. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The ongoing confrontation between District 2 Escambia County Commissioner Mike Kohler and Northwest Florida Representative Michelle Salzman has divided the community. While some residents rallied to support Kohler, highlighting his accomplishments, others condemned his remarks about Salzman, calling them damaging and disrespectful. Shannon Kohler, the commissioner's wife, defended him by pointing out his longstanding commitment to community health.
I know that Mike realizes his comments have been worded differently from being a nurse for 34 years. It's ridiculous that make accusations that he doesn't care about sexual assault victims. I know this personally because I've seen how much he cares.
In contrast, several attendees demanded more accountability, with residents emphasizing the need for compassion and respect for survivors of sexual assault. Pensacola police have activated the Joint Operations Command for a busy weekend of events downtown. Chief Eric Winstrom says officers will have an enhanced presence for McGuire's Run, a cruise ship visit, and the Sunbelt Conference Tournament.
I'll be stopping at a few of the games. I know we have a constant presence there. The officers holding it down have been doing a great job. I'll be at McGuire's on Saturday morning for the 5K.
Winstrom joked that he has not signed up to run, but he says, well, maybe he should dress appropriately just in case. The McGuire's Run is one of the largest 5K events in the area. Florida Power & Light is hosting the 28th Annual Economic Development Symposium in Sandestin this week. Chris Plate, the CEO of Florida West Economic Development Alliance, says the event is all about developing relationships.
This year was phenomenal. The relationships that I've built over the last year to meet these people all in one location, to have FPL sponsor us. They're such a leader in getting everyone together and talk about economic development and growth in our region. I tell you, you know, so much information. You feel like you know a lot, but even here, you start to learn about just new information that was out there about whether it's the military base or what's going on in the legislature, and even just motivational speakers. So it's been a great experience for me and worth the 2 days for sure.
Plate says the event has been exciting, with leaders from across the region attending the two-day symposium to discuss economic development here in Northwest Florida. Let's check the weekend forecast from Channel 3 to see what it's going to be like.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Fog should be around through the morning hours, burning off as we head into your afternoon, high near 75 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees, fog possible through the overnight hours. Saturday, we will have mostly cloudy skies, 20% chance of rain, high near 76. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Heading into Sunday, mostly cloudy skies again with a 20% chance of rain and a high near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, let's go to PJ for traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by ECUA. ECUA making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Taking a look at the big board, I-10 and 110 are both flowing smoothly. US 90 clear from Milton to Pace. 29 southbound, traffic's running heavy from about Roberts Road to 9.5 mile. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. Right now, it's cloudy. Some fog still in the area and 67 degrees in Pensacola. 66 in Gulf Breeze and 65 right now in Milton at 735. The next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Once upon a night, the Pensacola Little Theater becomes a living storybook. Welcome to Cabaret 2026 Storybook Soiree, where every room opens a new chapter filled with bands, DJs, aerialists, ballerinas, flash mobs, and unforgettable surprises. Wind your way through 6 open bars, culinary creations, craft cocktails, transforming the entire theater block. Cabaret 2026 Storybook Soiree, happening March 28th. Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. Purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, it is our monthly installment with Ryan Jenkins, our good friend, the farmer, owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. We were having a little bit of cell phone trouble just a minute ago, so hopefully this works out okay. I'm letting you know that in advance in case there is one. It's not a big surprise. Ryan, welcome back, sir. It's been 2 months, so missed talking to you last month.
I know it. Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing so well. It's great to have you here on the show. So let's start with this. You were in D.C. recently. I think you were there with the Farm Bureau maybe, but you took some time to stop by Jimmy Patronus's office too. What happened? Tell me about the trip. What'd you get done?
Well, we were there for American Farm Bureau has these things called issue advisory committees. So They basically have several different committees dealing with all aspects of things that deal with farming. And so I actually sit on the technology committee, which, let me tell you, there's a lot of smart people in that room. I'm still not sure why I'm there, but it's so interesting. But we deal with issues and try to develop policy that we want to lobby for, you know, for all the farmers in America. And so I'm sitting on the one that deals with technology type things, like we've talked about the Right to Repair Act before. You know, that's something that we were instrumental in and very active in, helping get that legislation pushed through.
And for people who may not, just for people who may be hearing you talk about this for the first time, there used to be this prohibition on farmers doing their own repairs on their equipment because, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in the company doing the repairs, and yet farmers will do them even if they're not supposed to because, you know, daylight is money. And this just makes it so that they can actually do that and, you know, not have to spend the money and do get the time. And just that's the kind of the context. Anyway, go ahead. You were saying, what else you've been working on?
That's right. So we talk a lot about, you know, drones are the hot topic right now.
Hmm.
Policy affecting them, regulations affecting them. Talk a lot about AI and about robotics. And one of the neatest things, you know, I've said this before, you're kind of in a silo wherever you're at. You don't realize as much things that are going on in other places. You kind of get in this mindset that however we do it here, or the things that we do here are the only things that are going on.
Right.
But there was a dairyman in there, in which we had some industry experts in there as well dealing with this, but robotic milking on a dairy. So, you know, typically a normal dairy right now, you know, you go out there, simply put, you go out there, you round your cows up, you bring them into a stall, you put the milker on, it milks them, you turn them loose, they go eat, and then you do it again, you know, later. So this guy has robotic milkers at his dairy, and it's up to the cows to get milked when they want to. I thought that was the coolest thing. So, so they come in, they walk up to get milked. The machine puts the things on the udder, and it milks them. It keeps up with their health. It keeps up with each quadrant of their udder, how much milk it's producing. It'll tell, you know, it keeps all this stuff up on, and you just pull up a screen, and it's, you know, there's a 23% chance that this cow will be sick within the next 3 days. I mean, it's
wow.
Crazier. This cow milking this much. And so he said, you know, manually they were milking two times a day. And now when the cows basically milk themselves, they're up to almost three times a day. And see, the thing's running 24 hours a day. They're not just there when the people can come milk. So I don't know. That just, it was so neat hearing
yeah.
that. And that's just a very, very short version of it. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot going on in the agricultural industry dealing with technology that the average person has zero idea about.
Well, it's the story as old as time, right? When you talk about how many farmers there were 100 years ago and what percentage of the land was farmed and that fed us at a, you know, 100 million population. And how many people are farmers today and what size land there is, but with the aid of technology, how fewer farmers with smaller land can feed 300 million people and export half again as much because of technology. And that's a good example of it. You know, a human even operating the system has one set of limitations, but the robot doing it whenever and giving you health information and a better way of managing your herd, it's, you know, everybody wins. We have more healthy cows and more healthy milk, right?
That's right. So I just thought that was so neat.
Yeah.
And you think about it, they know more about what they need than we do. We're just kind of guessing, you know, they have feelings like we do, and they know when they need to be milked, and their production went up almost a third because they can do it at their own pace.
So, right. They know when they're full, you know, makes perfect sense.
That's right.
So what else did you get done in D.C.? That's fascinating. What else did you get done?
So that was the main reason we were there. And then I had a little bit of extra time, so I asked him to set me up a meeting with Representative Petronas and went over and talked with him for a little while. And just, you know, I've talked to him before, but just to see him there and make sure, you know, I said, the person in the office before, you might not have been as pro-ag as we were wanting. So here's your chance to shine. You help us, any way possible, you know. And we had a very, I had 15 minutes scheduled with him. That's all I wanted to do. And then we talked for almost an hour about several different things. And hopefully some of those things will be able to help us in our area here in the future. It's just, we had a very good conversation, and I think that he's going to be a benefit for ag, and I think he'll get his feet wet more and more with it and feel more and more comfortable about talking about things that are connected to us. And I don't know, it was a good conversation. I was thankful to get to go do that.
Yeah, I mean, being CFO does give you a pretty wide range of experience, but still there's stuff you can learn about the military and about farming, and, of course, two things that are very vital to our area. And that's been my experience with Jimmy. He's very eager to learn. He wants to understand because he wants to help people, and you need to understand things in order to not make stupid choices when it comes to trying to help people the wrong way. So I appreciate that about him. We'll be back to Ron Jenkins here in just a second. He is our good friend and the owner of Jenkins Farms. And Jay, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, Brent Lane at Rawson Lane in Pensacola. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, gosh. Does it say east or westbound? That's just huge. I mean, that's like six lanes right there. So
Brent Lane to Rawson Lane, road block. It's all
it says. Oh, wow. Okay. So. All right. Good luck. Good luck, people, this morning. All right. Back to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. Just a quick question on the D.C. Were you there at the State of the Union? Did you get a chance to go, or were you there before that?
I was there a week or so before that. Okay. I would love to do that. I would do anything to get to go see that. Are you kidding me?
I can see if you could ever swing it on one of your future trips with Jimmy, if you can swing 3 minutes with the president, I bet he'd feature you at the State of the Union because he'd fall in love with you the way we do. And then our friend Ryan Jenkins could be one of the featured human props at the State of the Union. I think that'd be kind of fun. But anyway.
I wouldn't be able to get my head in the tractor cab if I got to do that.
You got a plane of years in the Smithsonian and you get featured at the State of the Union. Yeah, it'd be a lifetime achievement. Coming back home, the farm bill in Tallahassee, I'll be honest, I have not had a chance to read it or pay attention to the provisions. Good, bad, otherwise, we don't know.
I think it's good. I think some of the things we have to guard ourselves against are just ridiculous. You know, there's a lot about the Florida farm bill that, you know, is just, you would think it would be there, like conservation and natural resources. But, I mean, we've had to protect ourselves against lab-grown meat. You know, a couple of years ago, we had the Right to Farm Act that was part of the Florida Farm Bill, you know, protecting us against nuisance-type lawsuits, like, hey, you're making dust or making noise or something like that, or the cows are making sounds or whatever. And then this time, they had to prohibit local government from banning gas or diesel-powered farm and landscape equipment.
Duh. As in putting you all entirely out of business.
Right. So they had to protect us against that. You know, there's places that they just want you to use electric stuff and things like that. So they had to get in front of that and protect us from that. So it's just stuff. I don't know. I think it's ridiculous, the things that we have to be careful about and be proactive about. We can't just concentrate on doing our job.
No, that I agree. You shouldn't have to play self-defense. It's hard enough doing farming. It's challenging enough. It's frustrating enough. But you shouldn't have to also defend yourself politically against people who are trying to do silly things. I agree with that. Hey, when we talked, I'm trying to remember if it was 2 months ago or if it was before that, but we talked a bunch about tariffs and the impact on your industry and it basically being, you know, pretty rough right now. The president, of course, lost his Supreme Court case for the IEEPA tariffs. I don't know that directly affects you particularly, but how are things as a result of the ongoing trade issues, tariff issues? Is that still a struggle for y'all? Is it kind of evening out? What's going on?
No, it's still terrible. It's terrible, and then this war, you know, is adding to it. You've seen what the fuel prices are just going up dramatically every day. So we just don't have a margin there to play with. It's not like we've got a large margin where we can handle some of the, you know, we can buffer some of those things like fuel going up or whatever. We don't have a margin there for that. And anytime fuel goes up, fertilizer goes up, And it always, these kind of things seem like, you know, we always use fertilizer in the spring. We don't use it the whole rest of the year, basically. And it seems like every spring something happens, and it just, these fertilizer prices are already so inflated that there's just no room for these inputs to continue to go up while the commodity prices continue to go down. It's just, I can't relate to everyone enough how serious this situation is for the American farmer.
You know, I know probably you don't have a lot of leverage to fix the front half of that equation. It is what it is as a result of major policy choices. But did you talk with Jimmy at all about the prospect of finding some kind of price flexibility on the back end so that at least farmers can get paid more when, you know, for their products, when the prices, the input prices do change?
We have talked about that. We've talked, the end game is we've got to, if we could get the input prices to relax just a little bit and the commodity prices to increase just a little bit, it would make all the difference in the world to the farmer. Like for instance, one thing has gone down, what I would say dramatically, our cotton picker wrap, the wrap that we put around those round rolls of cotton every fall. You know, that has been a racket since day one. That was one of the hardest decisions to make for buying that cotton picker because it gets wasted, right? And one roll of that stuff has been being about $900, and we go through many rolls a year. So this year, they've come out and they've said it's going to be about $600 a roll.
Oh, nice.
That's something that's helpful to us. So if the other inputs could come down just a little bit, it would make such a big difference to us. So anyway, and everybody's industry has their problems, but I can just tell you, everybody's worried about national security right now because of what's going on. Well, I feel like America's farmers are just as important as an aircraft carrier or any other part of the military. I mean, it's meaning that it is such a big part of national security.
Absolutely.
Making sure that you can feed and clothe yourself. I'm not taking anything. I love our military. I don't mean it.
I know what you mean. Yeah, no, every one of us uses your product every single day. I mean, and that's, you know, your or other farmers' products every single day. We literally die without your product. And, you know, we depend for our lives on the fact that there are people like you out there doing it. And if you can't do it, you know, profitably or even, you know, even break evenly, then we're all going to be in trouble. Ryan, we always like to, you're not planting yet, right, for spring? You're still about, are you planting?
We'll start corn in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
And then most everything else start about the last part of May.
Okay. So
of April.
So about a month out from, you know, the big activities. Okay, fair enough. I figured that, but I just wanted to check with you. You always like to end with like a farm fact or a did you know thing about farming. You got one for me this week or this month?
Well, number one, did you know it's National Peanut Month?
No.
Not the farm fact.
Eat more peanuts.
It's National Peanut Month. So every time you eat peanuts, yeah, think about the peanut farmer. But 1 acre of peanuts, and we might have talked about this before, but I think it's still interesting. It's National Peanut Month, so that's what we're going to talk about. 1 acre of peanuts makes enough peanut butter to make 35,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Assuming you go not too heavy.
Do what?
Assuming you go not too heavy on the peanut butter. I mean, I like a lot of peanut butter in my peanut butter sandwich. I don't like just a hint of it. I like it to, you know, really be the meat of the sandwich. So for me, it'd probably be more like 20,000.
And I like the creamy too.
There you go. All right. Oh. Really?
Yeah.
You're not,
I do. I don't. Yeah.
Peanut farmer is not a crunchy peanut butter eater.
No, it could be a bug or something you're crunching on. I don't want to have to worry about what I'm crunching on. You know what I mean? I just want to be nice and smooth and easy.
Well, I mean, I like to prefer to think that I know the difference, but okay. All right. Hey, I don't know how I've been talking to you all these years, and this has never come up, you know? So, all right. Well, you learn something about your friends all the time. Ryan Jenkins, he is our farmer and friend and the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, as always, you know, thank you for making the clothes that my kids wear and the food that my kids eat. I appreciate the work you do. I know it's hard, and I really appreciate you keeping us informed about what's going on in the farming world every month. We'll talk to you again next month, sir.
Thanks for being a friend, Andrew, and having us on. Y'all take care and be safe.
Absolutely. 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3. You might be eating it. I'll never eat crunchy peanut butter the same again.
Our
thanks.
Crunchy bug.
Yeah, thanks. That's fantastic. All right. Oh, man. I know exactly what I'm going to picture the next time I eat peanut butter. Cricket. Oh, man. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot. They sell about half every month, so the inventory flips over, you know, half every month, which means they got to buy good quality cars. So if you have one to sell, they're a great place to sell a car. But, you know, if you're thinking about that next one, or if you're like me, you put it off too long because you don't want to deal with it, and you don't want to make the decision, you don't want to spend the money, you don't want to deal with the salespeople. I mean, all the stuff. Well, start by getting informed. Just go to Frontier and look around and say, Andrew tells me that I can tell you to leave me alone. I mean, you don't have to say it that mean, but, and they'll be like, cool, yeah. You can sit in a bunch of cars. You want to test drive some cars. Just become aware of what's out there. And you know what you might find out? You might find out that the car you want, you can't afford. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you have to get one that's a little bit older, okay? Or you might find out, oh, that's it? I could do that. You might find out something you didn't think you'd like, you do like. You might find out something you do like or thought you liked, you don't like. And that's why you go shopping. Start at the big buffet of all kinds of different cars, makes, and models. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. PJ is sitting in for John Pickens this morning with traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash Beverly Parkway at Cary Memorial Drive. Use caution through that area. Just a little bit down the road, though, we also have a vehicle crash with injuries. Brent Lane at Rawson Lane. There's a roadblock associated with that, so use caution through that area. Brent Lane is actually seeing quite a bit of congestion from Highway 110 back to Highway 29 as you're going eastbound, so just be aware of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
By the way, somebody texted in, doesn't Ryan understand that bugs can get creamed too? I had that same thought!
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The Leadership Pensacola Class of 2026, our community's premier leadership development program, is turning leadership into action.
Take a leap with us.
The Leadership Class of 2026 is stepping forward to create a healing garden for Gulf Coast Kids House.
A calming space designed to support children on their healing journey.
Together, we can turn leadership into lasting impact.
Lead with purpose and build healing.
To support this project, visit PensacolaChamber.com.
Join us in growing hope.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we have everything you need to know about the Sun Belt basketball tournament that is in town, how your kids can be at Fan Fest, and the Dribble Drive.
Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Nothing can stop the
I'm still laughing about Brian Jenkins' comment about crunchy peanut butter. I know y'all are revolted by it, too. All right, let's see. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. Steve?
It's been almost a week now since the U.S. and Israel started attacking Iran, killing the Ayatollah, and leaving the country to face a power void. President Trump is now saying he wants to personally play a role in the selection of Iran's next supreme leader. Iran's foreign minister says he's ready for any potential U.S. ground invasion. In an interview with NBC, he said Iran has not asked for a ceasefire and there are no plans for any negotiations with the U.S. He says there's no winner in this conflict, and their goal is to resist against the Israeli and U.S. forces, which he says they've done. President Trump,
the one who keeps saying that they keep saying they hit the Abraham Lincoln, they're shooting down our planes, they're killing our people, they're totally winning the war, right? That's the same information source?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Gulf War. Yeah. If you were to go back to that time. Iraqi warriors are fighting valiantly.
They won't know. The same ones who are laying down their weapons and running towards us?
Right. Well, finally, President Trump's pick to replace Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is Oklahoma Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. He still needs Senate confirmation, and that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate the update. Hey, coming up next hour, we're talking with Julio Diaz about movies. We have the Transgressors Memorial Service. You can find out which games Brother Andrew's committee has managed to update, including Slap Hands. Is there a version of that that the woke will love? We'll see.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.